He's Braden Gull. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing. Buck Rising back there being a Tasmanian devil and just stirring things up. It's Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. We're going to get you caught up on some big contract news. Excited for this in about 30 minutes. Joel Corey, who's a cap expert around the NFL, former NFL agent, is going to join us to break down some of the contracts. You heard in the update, Derek Carr signed a mega deal, and we'll break down some of what that's going to mean and some of what the upcoming contracts are going to mean for the Titans. So
very spirited discussion at like 5:15 this morning about quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah.
And their contracts and who they all are. And quarterbacks in the NFL is just fascinating, and contract talk especially.
Well, and we're going to dive into that. Before we get there, tonight is the NHL expansion draft, and we've covered it from a million different angles this morning. But there's one really important thing we haven't had the opportunity yet to say. And to kind of remind everybody, because the speculation right now is around what David Poyle is going to do today. Could there be a trade? What's it going to look like in free agency? All of these different moments, we're trying to break down what would you prefer? What would you want to give up? All of these conversations. And the one thing you have to know is that tonight, when the Preds select with the 30th pick in the draft, knowing that there are a couple of holes to fill, if they don't do anything, if the Preds don't make a deal tonight, it, in and of itself, that action or non-action will cause the tipping of David Poyle's hand. Because if he does nothing tonight and you are a free agent or the agent of a free agent, you now know that this team is going to free agency with the intention of bringing in pieces and spending money.
So you don't think there's any chance that a trade could still happen?
I mean, a trade could happen on a one-on-one, again, like I've said earlier, I think that the reason a trade makes sense today is because it involved draft picks, that equity. If you lose that equity, then what you're really looking at is probably a player-for-player trade. And I don't see a need for a player-for-player trade before free agency hits.
Well, what if, to your point, though, like about restocking the defensive cupboard, what if they take a highly touted defenseman at 30 overall and that's now their trade chip? You know what I mean? Like, could that still be a part of it?
It could be. I think that would still play forward tonight. I don't think in 3 days you trade a draft prospect that you just took.
No, I think, and this is what, for whatever reason, I cannot tell you why this is illogical and irrational analysis for me. I'm self-aware here. I just don't think anything's going to happen until July 1, even if there's a trade. I could see a big trade happening. I know everybody thinks it's about the draft, and your point is valid. If they don't make a trade tonight, is it more likely that they go free agency? Absolutely. That's clearly the case.
But
we've also seen Poyle go 1v1 and do big blockbuster trades. Now, we just got done saying we don't want to see that.
But I think that there's a progression of the three of them. See, my point isn't that a trade won't happen. It's that your free agency strategy has been shown. Your poker hand is shown if you don't trade tonight. Which means if I'm an agent, if I'm TJ Oshie, the winger out of Washington that is on most lists a top two or three free agent in this year's free agency list, 30 years old, explosive player, it would be an upgrade from James Neal for this Preds team. If I'm TJ Oshie's agent and nothing is done tonight, when David Poyle calls me in a few days, I know he's in a little bit of a pickle. He needs somebody. My value's high. My starting price is high. And I look at all of this and say, does that mean that they won't get through July 1st and then have to reassess? No. And if they don't get anything they want out of July 1st, they may have to reassess the trade market. But I think whatever inactivity there could be tonight from the trade market definitely forces the knowledge to the world of what he intends to do at the start of free agency.
So there's a couple different ways you could look at this. One is, let's look at the roster right now currently. And we did this kind of quickly yesterday at the end of the show. And if you go Arvidsson, Johansson, Forsberg on the top line, let's say Fiala, Yarncroke, Wilson on the second line, Smith, Sissons, Auberg on the third line, and Watson, Goudreau, McLeod on the fourth line with the six current defensemen and the two goaltenders. Could that team make the playoffs currently as is without a single maneuver being made by David Poyle? And the answer yesterday was yes. We think that team can make the playoffs without adding a single piece of the puzzle. So you could look at it one way and say they're already still in really good shape. David Poyle has also told us, so to your point about tipping the hand, I mean, he flat out said, I've got to go get a couple of forwards. So, you know, telling the world that he's going to go do this, I think alerts the world to the fact that he's going to go do this. So the question to me is, does the not trading of draft picks tonight actually mean that there's no trade coming? That's what I don't know. And that is, you're saying, it seems like free agency is more likely if they don't make a trade tonight. And for whatever reason, again, I totally acknowledge it's completely irrational. For whatever reason, I still could see a big trade happening after July. I don't know why I feel that way. Maybe just because David Poyle's track record and MO is like that. But as I start to look down the list of free agents and get a little bit deeper into it, would Oshie be TJ Oshie, Washington Capital winger, who's a great player, 30 years old? You'd have to give him probably $5 or $6 million a year. You'd pay him you'd basically pay him about the same amount as James Neal, a little bit younger, maybe a little bit better player. I think we agree that'd be an upgrade. Or do you go out and spend money on a center? And that's where a position of need, I think we all agree, is more important. I think the wild card in all of this is Mike Fisher. And this is why I think it's going to take time. I think they sort of are not being held hostage by Mike Fisher, but they have to know what Mike Fisher's going to do before they go and mortgage the future on Matt Duchene or trade a bunch of draft picks or sign a bunch of big price free agents, right? I mean, you need to know what you currently have on your roster, and I don't think even Mike Fisher knows Mike Fisher wants to do yet.
I think that Mike Fisher is a luxury that impacts the Colton Sissons and third and fourth lines. I don't think Mike Fisher actually impacts the second line. I just think that Mike Fisher, at his best at this point coming back, is a leadership presence. He's a part of this locker room. He's a huge part of what sort of the culture in that, and that makes him a huge addition to this team. I will say this right now. I don't think the Nashville Predators can win the Stanley Cup with Mike Fisher as their second-line center.
I agree with you.
So to me, if I'm the GM...
I think he's third no matter what.
Right. So if I'm the GM,
okay,
it doesn't impact my need for a second center. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I know going into tonight and going into July 1st, I need a second-line center.
Okay.
And if I don't get a second-line center, then I better make everybody around the centers I have that much better. I think that's why, in my mind, and I don't disagree. I think a trade could happen in mid-July. You know, I just think that this tonight's market and whatever happens will affect July 1st market, and then July 1st market will affect the later trade market because if they can't line anybody in, and if you're the GM of Colorado and you can't come to a deal tonight for Duchene, and then they go into free agency and they're not able to sign anybody, then your price just went up too. You're looking at it and saying, now, and guess what, David? You're stuck now. I'm going to ask for a little bit more.
I think, and first of all, I think this is a really awesome position for the Predators to be in, that we are in a position as a fan base tonight to basically look at a draft and be like, I don't care about this draft, right? I mean, that's where to get, like, what do Patriots fans think every single draft during the NFL draft? They think, whatever. They'll get somebody in the third round and he'll be a superstar, right? Like, they don't care because they're already in a position to win every year because all their pieces are in place. And then they add a couple of – they nibble around the edges, or they trade their first-round pick for Brandon Cooks or whatever. Their drafts don't matter. Like, we worry so much about the NFL top 10 picks, and the Patriots haven't picked in the top 25 in, like, 20 years.
Right.
And they still continue to win Super Bowls. So, to me, what for the first time in franchise history, the Predators fans look at a draft and go, I don't really feel like I'm gaining anything tonight. That's the thing. Like, they could draft a great player at 30 overall. Josh Norris could be a superstar centerman that ends up being a great player in the NHL. We have no idea, right?
Right.
We don't know. But he's not going to impact this team for the next 2 or 3 years, at least. If not, let's say 2 years at the fastest. So I think for the first time ever, Predators fans look at a draft and go, this doesn't help us today. How can this draft help us today? We can win a cup today if this draft can net us something. So I think that's the first time in franchise history that these fans can look at a draft and say that. I think that's a luxury position to be in. That's a great place to be in as a franchise. So that's why I think if they just draft a guy tonight and they get a guy at 30 overall, the fans are going to wake up tomorrow morning and go, okay, now what?
Right.
How did that help us get better today in trying to win a cup in the next 2 to 3 years? And the answer is probably not at all. There's really not, unless you trade that pick tonight, there's really not anything they can do tonight that makes them better this year. And that's where I think fans are at, and that's a unique place to be and a good place to be if you're a fan base, because it means your team is really good.
Well, and I don't disagree with any of that. I said this year going into the draft, it was fun for me as a Raiders fan in the NFL to finally not really care about the top of the draft, because it means things are going well. It also raises some of the pressure around the draft, though, because you have to continue to find players that can help you develop. That's going to be part of the trick for the new era of the Preds. It's part of the trick for the new era for many teams that are turning around in every sport, including the NFL. And speaking of the NFL, some big contract news happened yesterday. There's a couple more big contracts about to come through in the kitty, expected in quarterbacks in the next couple of months. There's a lot of conversation, and it impacts the cap future of the Tennessee Titans. We'll break down why, who, and how. We'll do all that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gull. I'm Jason Fitz. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Happy Friday to everybody in Nashville while you're driving in. We've had a ton of expansion draft conversation.
Speculation.
You like
love
that?
Love speculating. Love speculating.
All sorts of speculating. It makes me think of percolating, which is a word I like also.
And somebody was talking, I think it was Mike Greenberg, who was talking about the NBA being more interesting in the offseason. That's part of why I love this time of year, is college football is pure speculation.
Yep.
NFL, pure speculation. We got David Poyle and the Predators, like, just all types of different options and things that could happen and things that need to happen and are going to happen, and we don't know what any of them are going to be. That's what makes this time of year fun, is just everything is unknown and everything is like rosy and happy moving forward, right? Like, we all have a chance to win. Like, everybody's favorite college team and pro team and the Preds, everybody's like happy about moving forward. Oh, everybody's got a shot.
Yeah. Well,
and it's all speculation. Jacob Eason's going to win a Heisman.
Well, and we're all sitting here speculating as NHL free agency comes in that people are going to take discounts and guys are going to want to play here and all of these different things. Like, that's what we do as fans. We come in and sort of justify why we are why we're the destination and the team somebody wants to play for. I totally get that. I absolutely understand where that mindset comes from in the process. You've got to look at the same time, you can look at that conversation and say, according to SpotTrack.com right now, the Penguins have a bunch of cap space too. So, you never know how these cap situations are going to play out, where players are going to want to go. But it's even a topic in the NFL, and we told you about it in the update, but Oakland Raiders quarterback Derek Carr has signed a mega deal, and we mentioned a little bit of that yesterday. 5-year, $125 million extension, $40 million of it fully guaranteed no matter what. An additional $30 million of it is an injury guarantee, so he has $70 million in guarantees. Now, Derek Carr is a special situation 3 years into the league. This was the stat I tweeted out yesterday. Here's the complete list of quarterbacks in NFL history to throw more than 80 touchdown passes and fewer than 40 interceptions total in his first three seasons.
All right, give everybody that number again.
80 touchdowns, less than 40 interceptions over the first 3 years of your career. This is the entire list of quarterbacks.
Okay, hang on. I'm getting ready. I'm going to write all these names down. Okay. Hang on. Let me get a pen.
Get a pen. You ready?
All right, I'm ready. Let's go.
Derek Carr.
And?
That's it. So, again, what's happened for him has been a meteoric rise, very special. But what impacts the Titans is it reset the contract value. And that we talked a little about it yesterday, but we didn't have time to go into the fact that there are a couple other quarterbacks right now that are also going to impact the market before Marcus Mariota comes up. One being Matt Stafford, who people in his camp reportedly feel that he is worth upwards of $30 million per year. Matt Stafford. That's right. That same Matt Stafford you're thinking of out in Detroit. Yeah, that Matt Stafford. People in his camp think he's worth $30 million. And Kirk Cousins.
Like the guy used to do keg stands?
Yeah. Okay. The same. Probably still does. Just really expensive kegs.
I bet
now.
You Kirk Cousins can do a keg stand.
Oh, he got to be. And Kirk, is sort of the famous Redskins example of they can't come to a long-term deal. So he keeps getting franchise tagged. And he's ended up with another franchise tag. And he's making around $24 million. And to sign him again would put him over $30 million if they can't come to a long-term deal with him. So there are two quarterbacks now that are dipping their toe in the $30 million range. And it was a national topic of conversation yesterday that directly affects two franchises, the Buccaneers and the Titans. Because if you think that Marcus Mariota can have a great year this year and come in for less than this $26, $27, $28 million range, you're kidding yourself. Even with injury concern, there's still the likelihood that he's at least a $25 million quarterback. But the bar is going to be set by the Staffords of the world that's going to make it 30.
So this is hard to analyze because Marcus Mariota is significantly a better player, in my opinion, than long-term and because of the age, than Matthew Stafford and Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is relatively young, 28 years old. Mariota's not. He's got 3 or 4 years on him. I think Mariota's got a much higher ceiling. I think Mariota's the better player, and I think with Stafford, he's just a much older player, also with some injury concerns early in his career. So it's hard to look at apples and apples in this situation because I think Mariota's the better player, and he's younger, and therefore, you would think, worth more money, right? Like, that's common sense. That's a common sense thread there. I think the Jameis Winston contract is the most important contract of all of these.
Oh, sure.
I don't think that Titans personnel, John Robinson, Mariota and his agent, I don't think they're going to use Cousins and Stafford's deals as much as they're going to use Jameis Winston's contract. Same year, same draft. I think Winston is a special, special player. And I think Winston has more of the give me all of the money now type mentality. But I think Winston is a great player. So I think Winston's contract is the one to really watch, because I think Derek Carr, Jameis Winston, and Marcus Mariota are in the same tier of caliber of player. I don't think Stafford and Cousins are on that same tier. That would then lead you to say, all right, well, are the Lions just desperate? Is some other team that's going to sign Cousins just desperate? Because I don't think you can see a deal with Washington working out. It seems too toxic, right, at this point?
Right.
Like, they just don't like it. Like, at this point, it almost seems silly to re-sign them. But the Lions are sort of in a desperation situation. How is that different than the Titans? How is that different than the Buccaneers? It's hard to see. You know, if you've got the guy, you've got to pay him. And I think $26, $27, $28 million is fine for Marcus Mariota. But you start talking $31, $32, and then I think the injury questions start to creep up. But it's what they always say about buying a house. Like, you can't let, you know, 15 or 20 grand derail purchasing a house, right? Like, if it's the right house purchase for you, the extra $6 on your mortgage per month is worth it if you're going to go up 20 grand in price. You can't let that fall apart. So $2 or $3 million is not a reason to let Marcus Mariota walk away.
Right.
Like, you have to have him. You can't not have him. So the question is, how much does Mariota want? How much does he want to be here? What does that all mean to him? And is he going to, like, to me, I don't know. I think that he'll get the deal done faster, and he just doesn't strike me as a holdout type of guy. That just doesn't. They seem to have a better relationship than that.
Well, I don't disagree with that. And in fact, I think it's very similar again to the Carr situation. The reason people out with Derek Carr got this money was not just because his contract was up this year. That's a big part of it. But part of it was because you saw a massive progression every single year with Derek Carr. From year one to year two, different player. From year two to year three, different player for sure. So you look and see sort of the progression of it. I think that's the reason that Mariota is going to find himself in that category as well, is because we've seen some big jumps in Mariota's ability over the last couple of years, or his play in general, not his ability, but his play over the last couple of years. If he takes that next jump forward, then absolutely I think that he becomes much like Derek Carr. It's that guy that, hey, not only is he a great talent, he works hard. Not only is he a good guy, not only is he a sort of guy that's easy to market for the community, he's likable, he's got all of these things. But on top of that, he gets better at his job every year. It makes it a very easy sales pitch in the process. I think what's interesting is, not necessarily a holdout. I don't think it's a holdout about value, but I do think that there's going to be a little bit of a game of chicken between Jameis Winston's agent and Marcus Mariota's agent, because one of them is going to be responsible for setting the bar. One of them is going to set the bar for value for the other. So if I'm an agent, I'm sitting back and I'm like, well, let's hold off a little bit and see what happens in Tampa, because Tampa may set a new bar of what this contract should be, you know. And that's what used to happen in the NFL draft. If you remember, if you think back to before they slotted all the draft picks, you'd see a guy that would just hold out forever because he's the fifth pick in the draft and the fourth pick hasn't signed yet. And the agent's got to make sure he gets, you know, they've got to make sure that these things all line up. The fourth pick won't sign till the fifth pick's not. Like, everybody's watching each other. We haven't seen this yet in the NFL, where two direct competition, one pick, two pick, both came up at the same time. I think you could see a bit of a draft-like moment.
But this feels a lot like we're just doing therapy here for the sticker shock, right? Like,
yeah.
Because there's really not, I mean, barring a catastrophic injury, which obviously would be horrific, barring a catastrophic injury to Marcus Mariota, there is no way this player is not playing quarterback for the Tennessee Titans for as long as he wants to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So really this is just us doing therapy for Titans fans that are trying to get prepared for sticker shock in 2 years for what a contract could look like. Because at the end of the day, we can analyze and analyze and analyze. It doesn't matter. You have to have the player, right? Like $31 million, $26 million.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Like, you have to sign him if he's healthy and if he's the answer at quarterback, and it clearly looks like he is. There's really no discussion to be had about what he's worth. So you really just sort of say, all right, Titans fans, lay on the couch and be prepared for some sticker shock.
Because
that's all it is.
You also don't want to have a Cousins situation where you can't get it worked out and now Cousins holds all of the cards. Kirk Cousins has put himself in a situation where if the Redskins don't work something out, he can go to another team next year and get a massive, massive mega deal from them. And not only will Cousins still get paid, the Redskins then will be left with no quarterback. So, you know, there are long-term repercussions. That's part of what you just got to accept, what the new dynamic is in the NFL.
It's quarterback. You got to pay for it.
Yeah,
you either have one or you don't.
Greeny said it this morning as they kicked off Mike and Mike. There are two types of teams in the NFL, ones that have quarterbacks and ones that don't. And when you have one, you pay them. And that's what's going to happen here. We'll get into it, though, with somebody that knows the numbers a lot better than most. Joe Corey, he used to be an agent. Now he's a cap expert, all over the news yesterday, breaking down the Carr contract. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, not just the contract for Mariota, but other big contracts that are coming up around the corner, can you say, Luan, and how that will all be handled. We'll do that next up with Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gull. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing. Our buddies Fall Out Boy actually put out a new single today, so go out to Spotify, check it out.
It's better than Jason Isbell?
Well, you know, we each have our own opinion on that. Let's just say it that way.
It's just like your opinion, man.
Actually,
Fall Out Boy, great, by the way.
Speaking of opinions, sports talk's full of a lot of opinions and not a lot of facts. And sometimes you want to... I know, it's staggering to hear. But sometimes you want to get somebody on that can really give you perspective and facts. And, you know, this guy is great at that. He was an agent, now he's just a basic...
Two things lacking in sports talk radio, you're suggesting? Perspective and facts?
Oh, my God, yeah, but that's what makes it...
Or perhaps the media?
That's what makes it glorious. So, okay. Joel Corey joining us, cap expert, knows all things contracts. Joel, man, we appreciate your time this morning.
Sure, anytime.
So let me start, because obviously I know you spent a lot of yesterday talking to everybody around the country about the Derek Carr contract. And here's really what we're thinking of from a Nashville and a Tennessee perspective. What bar is now being set for quarterback value that will impact Marcus Mariota when it's time for him to be renewed?
Well, what this deal does is it sets a floor for Marcus Mariota, assuming that he continues to progress. The Titans could extend his contract at the earliest after the 2017 season ends. You need three seasons to have elapsed. If you're a draft pick, they'll have a fifth-year option, which they'll exercise undoubtedly. That's going to be over $20 million, most likely. That'll be for 2019 contract year. We haven't seen a quarterback on a first-round option get extended after 3 years, so the most likely timing might be after the 2018 season, but by then the quarterback market may have taken another jump, because you're going to have Matthew Stafford make Derek Carr the second highest paid quarterback in the league. At some point, Kirk Cousins will get a contract, whether it's this year with the Redskins before the July 17 franchise tag deadline, or next year if he's a free agent. If he hits the open market, that could be a mind-boggling deal. Matt Ryan is going to get a contract extension no later than the beginning of next season. And Aaron Rodgers had his contract extended last time with 2 years left. There'll be 2 years left after this season. So that'll be another thing in the equation. So this market's going to escalate. So the sooner the Titans do Marcus Mariota, the cheaper it's going to be.
Is it as simple as just Matt Stafford got X and Mariota's better than him, and Cousins got X and Mariota's better than him, or Winston is better than him? Is it as simple as that, or is there a lot more, hey, the Lions are more desperate, the 49ers might be more desperate? Is some of that a part of this equation, or is it just simply, hey, this guy got X and I'm better than him, I'm going to get X plus one?
Yeah, leverage and timing and desperation play into it, but typically what happens is that high-end contracts are made to be built upon, so you don't necessarily have to be better than the guy. If you're up and the market's shifted forward, then you're going to get that type of deal, because you're not only paying a player for what he's done, you're paying for what he's expected to do in the future. And a guy like Mariota, Jameis Winston, Derek Carr, these guys are considered to be ascending players. So when they sign their deals, it's not only going to be for what they have just immediately done, it's going to be for where they expect them to play in the future. And these guys are supposed to be the next wave of great quarterbacks.
We're talking to Joel Corey, salary cap expert, former agent. So, Joel, talk to me from an agent's approach. If you're Mariota's agent, and we're only going to deal with the body of work we have so far, that body of work so far includes some injury history. Does that really impact the value of a contract at this point, or is that something you just throw aside because the market is so hot?
Well, the injury history didn't affect Derek Carr. He broke his leg late in the season as well, couldn't play in the playoffs, and he's highest paid player. So the only injury that might have a dramatic effect would be some sort of spinal or concussion issue. And even if you look at serious injury to your throwing shoulder, that didn't affect Drew Brees about 10 years ago. He was still able to get a market deal when he first went to the Saints. It just affected the structure.
Joel, you look at the salary cap in general. We've seen a big influx of cash. Do we expect that trend to continue, meaning the contracts sort of match the rate of inflation for the league, or do we think that number is going to stay firm? What are the projections on the salary cap moving forward?
It should be close to $180 million next year, but quarterback deals have not kept pace with how the salary cap is increased. When Aaron Rodgers signed his deal in 2013, the cap was $123 million. The cap's gone up about 36% since then. It's $167 million now. If you take that Aaron Rodgers deal and adjust it to a $167 million cap environment, that's almost a $30 million per year deal, and we just had the first $25 million per year quarterback. So quarterbacks either aren't maximizing their leverage to full extent, or teams are reluctant to pay guys at that type of level unless they are really considered arguably the best player in football.
Joel, you've written some smart content on the impact of the future for the Raiders, because they obviously have some big contracts coming due. The Titans also have some situations that may come due when you look at somebody like Taylor Lewan. When you look at their future forward contract situation, how do they handle sort of balancing having drafted well and having to pay a lot of guys now?
One thing the Titans have is a ton of cap room. Even after signing Eric Decker and once they finally get Corey Davis under contract, they're going to have about $40 million in cap room that can roll over to next year if they don't make any major signings or any extensions this year. So they could be in the neighborhood of $65, $70 million in cap room. Taylor Lewan actually is eligible for a contract extension right now. His option year salary is going to be a little over $9.3 million. We have seen guys get extensions and some offensive linemen after playing three seasons. For example, last year, the Kansas City Chiefs extended Eric Fisher, who isn't the same player as Lewan. I think he's inferior. He was the first overall pick in 2012, I believe, that draft. And he signed a four-year extension for $48 million and $40 million in guarantees. So that's going to be a floor for Taylor Lewan. If he goes out and has another year like this year, the price is only going to go up. So in my opinion, it would be smart for the Titans to explore doing an extension before the season starts.
Joel Corey joining us, man. We appreciate your time this morning, Joel. Fantastic stuff. Great work. Check him out at Corey Joel on Twitter. Follow him. Great information on contracts all around the league. We appreciate your time this morning, man.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff from him.
You know, he started talking about the salary cap, and he said the quarterback salaries haven't matched the salary cap. And my initial thought was, yeah, they're growing much faster than the salary cap is. And I'm shocked that it's the other way around. And that is really surprising to me. I think that's good news for Titans fans, because that means that there is more money to spend on a quarterback that you're going to have to spend a lot of money on in Marcus Mariota. But I'm a little surprised by that. I'm shocked. I would have assumed that the quarterback position was overinflated. If Matthew Stafford is about to make $30 million, I feel like that's way overinflated for a guy that has – you know, won what, like one half a playoff game? Has he won a playoff game?
Well,
I don't even know what his numbers are.
I don't know that the overall market of quarterback hasn't always been inflated. It's just not growing to the same level. And you've got to look no further than Chicago, where they picked up I'm blanking
Mike
on
Glennon.
Yeah, thank
14
you.
Million.
Mike Glennon for $14 million. I mean, that's sort of the and we looked at it at the time and said, wow, that's really low for a starting quarterback in the NFL. So I think what's happening is the cap is growing.
Because he's not a starting quarterback.
And the cap is growing at 6-7% per year, 5% per year. The cap is growing at this large number. Quarterback contracts are growing at 1% per year. But more quarterbacks are getting those types of contracts. So you're seeing more quarterbacks clouded in together. And I really want to stress one thing that Joel just said that's very smart. You've got a lot of history recently with, for example, Joe Flacco coming off of an ACL, got a new contract. You've got injuries everywhere. So for anybody that's really thought in the last 24 hours that when they can redo Mariota, injury could play a part in driving that value down, I don't see it. I think that Mariota's going to get a massive deal. And Joel
Tom Brady tore an ACL in his 10 years later. You know what I mean? Like, he's been playing, what was that, 07, 08?
08.
I mean, it's 9 years later, and he's won a Super Bowl again. So I think, to his point also, concussions or spinal injuries are big. I think he definitely tossed shoulder out as one that he's not worried about. That's one I would be worried about. Like, the knees for Mariota, eventually, you have to be a statue passer anyway because you just age. At some point, you no longer are a dual-threat quarterback in the NFL. You get to, like, 29 years old, 30 years old, and you sort of have to be in the pocket and you have to go through progressions and deliver the football on time, and your style of play changes as you get older, and there's no question about that. So, like, as the knees get worse for Mariota, his style of offense is going to change, and he's not going to need his knees. I mean, that's the whole idea behind – and frankly, surgery on knees has gotten so good.
Right.
We're so good at rebuilding knees now. Shoulders are a big concern. I mean, what are we talking about right now with Andrew Luck and Cam Newton? If something happens to Mariota's shoulder, or like Joel said, the head or the spine or the concussion area, those are the two areas that you are worried about long-term risk. Because that's what this is about, right? How do you limit your long-term risk while spending $30 million a year on one player? Head injuries, spinal injuries, shoulder injuries. Those are the three that concern me. Everything else you can kind of fix. Hips or knees or ankles or whatever, that stuff can get fixed. The shoulder and the head are the two areas that I'd be worried about, and Mariota has not had any of those problems.
One thing to keep eye on that has not been talked about, I don't want to get into the minutiae of the Derek Carr contract for the Raiders, but I will tell you this. There's one interesting thing. They left themselves an out after 2018, where if there have been injury problems, if there are future concerns, they did leave themselves an out and an ability to essentially get out of the contract after 2018. I think you're going to see more of that. Big money guaranteed contracts that are 5 years, 6 years in length, but still leave a team an option to essentially overpay but still get their way out after 2 or 3 years so they're not stuck in salary cap purgatory. We'll break down some of it, obviously, because there's a real key. He mentioned Lawan. Lawan's available right now to be paid. He also mentioned rollover cap space. I want to make sure everybody understands that, because getting guys paid means something in the locker room. I'll tell you what and why. We'll do that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Braden and Fitz live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. All we do during there's only two things that happen during the breaks at this point. It's one of two things. A, we discuss hot sports topics, or B, we stuff our face with donuts. It's out of control today. 102.5 The Game has teamed up with Dunkin' Donuts to the joy of the studio and to the sadness of our waistlines to give you a chance to win a pair of four-day passes to the Nashville Golf Open at the Nashville Golf and Athletic Club Thursday, June 29th through Sunday, July 2nd. Today's the last day to sign up, so registration ends at 10 a.m. You can visit thegamenashville.com for more details. You can also get participating locations. It'll tell you where to go. I think we've also got a little video that's going up of us gorging ourselves on some donuts. So
yeah.
I'm only a man. I want to do this right, but I'm only a man. So
you're only human.
There's a point here. Joel Corey joined us earlier, former agent, fantastic cap guy. I can't stress it enough. Follow him on Twitter, because he breaks down realistic expectations for contracts and then realistic analysis of who won and lost in negotiations of contracts. Really does a fantastic job. He mentioned something that we almost forget about, and that is that Taylor Lewan is eligible to be re-signed right now. You have to be 3 years out of college. And once you're 3 years out, you can then be re-signed. So he is eligible at this point to sign a new deal. They could up him early before this season starts. I wouldn't be surprised if that conversation isn't taking place, because ultimately somebody's got to bet. Either the Titans bet on themselves and hope that he doesn't have as good of a year and they can get him at a better value.
Which seems very odd.
That doesn't work for anybody.
It's backwards thinking there.
Or you look at him and say, man, I see the shape he's in and the work he's done in the year he just had. I want to re-sign him now. And the biggest thing to understand is a rollover, because Joel just sort of glossed over this, but the Titans right now have $40 million in cap space they haven't spent. The NFL allows you to roll that over to the following year. So when you see a salary cap number, that's part of why the Patriots went into this year with $100 million in salary cap space, because they were rolling over past unused caps. So the Titans are in this unique situation where they can sign Lawan, or they can roll that money over towards the future. I would like to see them do both. Sign him now, get him locked in, and then go ahead and roll over what's left so they can prepare for the Mariota signing.
And interesting tidbit there. No first-round quarterback has ever been signed after 3 years. Mariota and Winston could be the first two.
Right.
Because if the quarterback market is moving so fast, those two sort of are at the head of the – should be at the head of the train in some respects. And if that is the case, could we see – because what he said there is, again, when you're a first-round pick – the team has a fifth-year option. If you're a second-round pick, unlike Derek Carr, you don't have that fifth-year option. You have a fourth-year option. And so by signing Derek Carr to a $25 million deal per year, 5 years, the Oakland Raiders, they got 1 year ahead of – basically a four-year extension. They extended him 4 years.
Well, he's entering his fourth year.
Right, so that would have been his last year. They didn't have a fifth-year option on him. They have, the Titans have a fifth-year option. The Buccaneers have a fifth-year option on Jameis Winston. So they don't have to re-sign him for another two seasons. Like that, that's the, so the question is, and apparently, and I didn't realize this, this is why you have a guy like Joel Corey on, is he says no quarterback has ever been re-upped after 3 years, a first-round quarterback. So that is where the Titans and the Buccaneers are at, facing something that's maybe never been done before. Or you let the market come to you and you pay a couple extra $1 million. Now, to your point, if you let all that cap space roll over, maybe the couple extra $1 million doesn't matter, and you want to get Mariota a fifth year for an affordable price with the understanding that you're going to re-sign him to a long-term deal after that. Is that risky? Maybe, but I don't think Mariota's going to go anywhere. I don't think he's going to hold him hostage. He just doesn't strike me as that type of guy. LeJuan, I think, aside from a couple of penalties, there's really no reason not to re-sign him. Like, there's just not – there's not a reason to bet against him. I don't understand why fans sort of feel that way sometimes. I think when you have a franchise quarterback, your top priority should be bookend tackles. And they've got two great bookend tackles, and they need to pay him. So Coughlin's got four more years on his deal before you have to repay him. So you're good there. But LeJuan, the faster you get that deal done, I think the better off you are from a financial standpoint. And then any extra money you've got, you roll it over, and that goes to Mariota at the end of the next year. And even then, that still would be early for Mariota next year.
Well, and I was talking to somebody recently that has some pretty good experience with NFL locker rooms, and this point was made. Seeing guys locked up early and seeing guys locked up the right way matters in a locker room. And let me explain why. Because ultimately, everybody in there is working their butt off. And there are certain organizations over the years that got the reputation for not taking care of guys, or as soon as a guy gets to the point where he needs to get paid, they just let him go. And in the locker room, you can feel that. So there's a moment where, as it was explained to me, if you're in there every day and you're putting the work in and you're busting your butt, and then you see a guy next to you that's doing the same, and he's crushing it, and you know he's working, and then you see that guy get taken care of, there's a moment where you look at it and say, hey, I know I'm next. I know they're going to do the right thing. And that motivates you even a little bit more. You mentioned Derek Carr, and it's significant because the Derek Carr and Khalil Mack for the Oakland Raiders were taken in the same draft. And last year, Khalil Mack was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, and Derek Carr has just gotten paid to this degree. You mentioned the fifth-year option. It's very important to know this, because the reason that the Raiders didn't have to sign Khalil Mack yet is because they exercised a fifth-year option. That's why 5 years is so important for first-round draft picks. So for Corey Davis, for example, if he comes out and if Corey Davis and Taywan Taylor have the same exact careers, reception-wise, yardage-wise, the Titans have the advantage of an extra year of Corey Davis because he was a first-round draft pick. The advantage in the locker room for the Raiders right now is everybody looks at it and says, okay, Derek Carr has been doing things the right way. He's been the right leader. He's done all of the right things. And the Raiders just rewarded him the right way in a non-complicated negotiation that took care of him in the way that it should. That boosts a locker room. That's also part of why I look at it and say paying guys a little early is a, if you're willing to take that risk, if you know the person and you know the personality that you're investing in, paying them early can be a great boon to everyone else that's sitting in that locker room that's trying to see how you're reacting to players. I think it makes a difference.
What are the greatest reactions to contracts from fans just across all sports? It's the Philip Forsberg deal.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, that style of deal. It's, we're going to pay you early. You're going to get more and more guaranteed money and a longer deal and a huge pay raise, but you're going to get it 2 years ahead of time so that we get a discount and you get your money early. Everybody wins. Those are the deals that almost are universally loved across all sports, right? Like, hey, there's still 3 more years on this guy's deal or 2 more years, but we're going to extend them. You see it in baseball all the time. You know, you've got 2.5 years left on a young pitcher's deal. Like the Mets, I say this just as a Mets fan because I know Noah Syndergaard is going to be a huge contract at some point, and they're going to have to pay him. But he's still got 3 years left on his deal, and they don't have to pay him anytime soon before he gets to arbitration. But if they do, they earn a bunch of goodwill, and the fans love it too. So everybody wins when you lock up a guy early. I think signing LeJuan is a no-brainer. Signing Mariota is a no-brainer. When you sign Mariota, There could be a price difference there, but there also could be another impact to the locker room, like you're saying. If Marcus Mariota is the first quarterback ever signed after 3 years and being a first-round draft pick, the message that sends to all the other first-round or second-round draft picks in the locker room is a pretty loud statement. And that's Jack Conklin, that's Corey Davis moving forward, that's whoever else that they get next year in the draft, whatever it may be. So I think that's a lost metric, I think, in all of this, is how, what do other people see? Oh, I want to be there now. I want to be a part of that organization.
And that's a, repeating a sentiment of why this is an exciting time for the Preds and for the Titans. All of this is growing. These are good problems to be having. Draft and free agency and how to sign these guys, how to keep your stars, is something Nashville hasn't had to worry about for a long time because there haven't been stars here. So having them here to this level is exciting. It's part of what makes everything in this scene exciting. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com college football expert. Chip Patterson, he's going to come on with us next. Wrote a really interesting article sort of predicting over-under win totals in the SEC. We'll get into that with Chip. We'll do that next up on Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.